As I was studying and reading through the book of Proverbs, I discovered again another theme throughout this book. As you and I study the Bible, we have a desire to learn that which God will bless and to avoid that which God will judge. And as we study here in the book of Proverbs, we find the principles of wisdom that God gives us. And we learn here of the things that displease the Lord. I want the best to know how in my study of the Bible, I want to be in the place of God's favor. I want to do the things that He wants me to do. If there are things in my life that do hinder my relationship, hinder my blessing, hinder my power, I want to know what that is. And so we study the Scriptures. We learn about God. We learn what pleases the Lord. We learn the promises. We learn the things that we are warned about. And one of the things I've discovered here, again, in my study in the book of Proverbs is concerning the poor. There are some prominent scriptures here about our relationship to the poor of this world and what God has called us to be. And so I've entitled the message tonight, Remember the Poor. Remember the Poor. Proverbs 22, look with me in verse 22 and 23. The Bible reads, Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoil them. Did you notice in verse 23, the Bible says, For the Lord will plead their cause. That's quite a profound scripture. That means that in the government of God, God is aware of the condition of the poor, and He will mete out mercy and justice as He takes special notice of them. We understand that God indeed is aware of all things. Jesus taught us that if the sparrow falls, it doesn't fall without the knowledge of the Lord. We know that God's eyes certainly are upon the righteous. He hears their cry. We know there are many scriptures that support the fact that God sees in detail everything that goes on. And God is not overwhelmed by the mass of information of everything He sees happening. How big is God? Isn't that amazing? Of all the interactions with people, of all the things that people do, we find the Scripture reminds us that God records the words and He knows all things, that nothing is hid from Him. As I mentioned, even something we would consider insignificant as a sparrow falling, God knows all about it. The Bible tells us here, and certainly worth noting, that the Lord will plead the cause of the poor and the afflicted. That is, that God will ally Himself with the poor. That God takes special notice, and that God, listen, will mete out mercy and justice in relationship to their treatment. Now, let me say here in our study that we find in the Scripture, supported by the Word of God, that the Lord's people are mostly among the poor. The Bible tells us in Luke 4:18 that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. We understand as we read the Scriptures that James 2 says, Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He hath promised to them that love Him? And so we find that the gospel has more success among the poor than the rich. We remember the Lord taught us as the disciples were questioning him concerning the gospel. And you remember the very sobering and powerful thought of our Lord in reference to the rich getting saved. And what did the Lord say? It was easier that a camel what? Go to the eye of a needle than that rich man giving the response to the gospel of Christ. And so, as we look and consider the Lord's people, we find that they are made up primarily of the poor of this world. I think you and I understand some significant things about that. In light of the Scriptures, we know that the poor are open to the gospel. Why? Because of the deceitfulness of riches. What is part of the deceitfulness of riches? That I don't need anything. You and I, no matter who we are or what we have, we need the Lord. Whether I'm aware of it or not aware of it. Whether I am crying out unto God because of my distress or whether I have paid no attention or do not even believe there is a God, every person has need of the Lord. Aren't you glad you know you have a need? I'm glad that I am aware of it, and thank God I am. There are times that God has to awaken us to that need. The psalmist said he was glad when he was afflicted. You know why? Because he went into the house of the Lord, and he recognized his need of God. Isn't it amazing? This is a little bit painful to admit, but when God lets you go through some trouble and some trial and bring a little distress in your life, isn't it amazing how that it clears the air like a fresh spring rain? And listen, there becomes a cleansing power over our souls such that we begin to think about the Lord and we begin to readjust the things that are important to us and God stirs us. Many times God has to get our attention so that we're aware that we need God. Some of the closest times we've ever been to the Lord has been the times that followed a great crisis and trouble and tragedy. Matter of fact, most of us got saved because, listen, of interruptions in our life. Whether it be some hardship, whether it be a time that you'd reach rock bottom, or whether it be the loss of a loved one, or whether it be, a crisis in your life, many times those things come and open up the gospel to us. And the Bible reminds us here that primarily His people are made up of the poor. Look, if you will, in Proverbs 28:11, the Bible said, "The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out." That is, the poor are more apt to listen for God's instruction and consider it. How the wealthy man, listen, is wise in his own conceit. And so he's less likely to listen to counsel and advice and instruction. Listen, because of the deceitfulness of riches. And so we find here that riches tend to self-righteousness. Riches tend to self-sufficiency. And they are deceitful. A wealthy man, listened by riches, thinks that he's better than his fellow man simply because of his possessions. And so he automatically takes the stage. He automatically takes the first place. He takes the high seat. He takes the best privileges unto himself. He assumes, the place of prominence. And rather than humbling himself, he walks in and, expects you all to bow before him simply because of what he possesses. That's the deceitfulness of riches. It is contrary to humility. It is contrary, to the truth. Because the truth is, every man a sinner and every man needs God. Every man needs a Savior. But that's part of that deceitfulness. Also, the self-sufficient. That because of wealth and possession, a man doesn't see himself as needy. We know the rich man, the Gospel of Luke, how that he didn't need anything. Why? Because his barns were filled with plenty. You know what God said about him? He's a fool. You know why? Because he didn't take into consideration his life, and guess what? That was his last day on earth. And he was going to meet God and didn't think he needed anything. And so we find in the Scriptures, the Bible records for us, 1 Timothy 6:7, charge them are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And so we understand tonight that it is through the poor of the world that makes up primarily those who are of the Lord's people. Now, the Lord could make everybody rich if He chose to. God is able to do anything, isn't He? He certainly is. Listen to the Scripture here. Proverbs 22, verse number 2. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. The Lord is the maker of them all. That it is by the permissive will of God that we have anything. God can take it all away. God can take it away faster than you ever dreamed. God can burn your barley fields. If you don't think you can go from being something and having everything to having nothing, read the story of Job. Has never a man ever gone from great wealth, great possessions, great privilege, to having practically nothing in just a day's time? Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that will be the great impact in the world of the judgment of God in the great tribulation when God cripples the economic system in one day. And it will be like, a great powerful earthquake. It will spread throughout the world and it will topple the world's economy in a day. Never could have dreamed it. I don't know why man couldn't dream it. It's like a house of cards now anyway. And you and I, one little thing happens and it shatters the world. I mean, get one little, and all global economies are intertwined today. If one nation goes down, it has a domino effect upon all the rest. And so, as you and I consider this, the Lord could make all rich if He chose to, then obviously it's not in the interest or the will of God that every man be made rich. Contrary, there's one problem with the prosperity gospel. It's not Bible. That's kind of a problem, isn't it? When you preach something and the Bible doesn't support it, that's pretty bad. The prosperity gospel is, listen, that if you had enough faith and you really believed in God, God will make you all rich. Usually the only person rich is the one who preaches it. And the reason you're not rich is because you hadn't given Him more, you see. If you had the faith and you gave it all to the preacher, God will make you wealthy. Some folks have been trying that for 20 years. The only one wealthy is the man who preached it. The Bible says, listen, they'll make merchandise of you, false prophet. And false prophets, just like Kenneth Copeland, his wife, who've deceived countless of millions. And they've taught the word of faith. You know what the word of faith is? And they're not talking about the word of God, they're talking about your word. And that if you had the faith to say the word, God would have to do exactly what you said because He's bound to it. And so you could go and command God. He's got to do it. I heard the woman say herself, she found the mansion she wanted. She walked around it and commanded God, by the word of faith, I command that God give me this mansion. He had to do it. Prosperity gospel makes God the servant. It makes you the master. That ain't Bible. That ain't the way it is. It is not God's will that everybody be rich. And you can have, listen, you can have the most faith in the world and be very poor. Very poor. Because it's not God's will everybody be made rich. And certainly, as you and I understand, there are principles that God gives us, and there are wisdom principles, there are prudent principles, there are things that certainly will bless our life, that will help us financially. We know that. But listen, it is wrong to say that that wealth, great wealth in material things, is the will of God for everybody. That's not the case. Now, we find here that poverty is a great revealer. Poverty occasions the contrast between true love and friendship and that which is false. Notice, if you will, in Proverbs 14, in verse number 20, the Bible said, "The poor is hated, even of his own neighbor, but the rich have many friends." The rich have many friends. One of the most pitiful things. I'll just put it this way. I knew an individual. For lack of a better term, I guess, made no profession really of faith, and it was very vain, empty profession. And basically had doped his life into an early death. But because he had a precious mama and a hardworking daddy, he was left with a sizable check every month. And at the first of the month when the check came in, he had at least anywhere from 5 to 12 friends. The last week of the month, he didn't have a friend in the world. And that cycle continued for years until he drunk and doped himself to death. I saw that proverb lived out on a continual basis. First of the month, here they come. "We love you. Can we do this? Can we do that?" Brought him things, did things for him. End of the month, they all disappeared. All of them gone. Left to himself. What a sad thing. The Bible here shows that the poor is hated of his own neighbor. You know what that reveals? That reveals, listen, that there is an insincere friendship. That there is an insincerity of their love, and their words are vain and empty. Why? Because being that they're poor, they have nothing to give me. And so the Bible says that they're hated. We also see in chapter 19, in verse number 4, the Bible said, "Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor." Verse number 7, "All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him." You see, as you and I consider the poor, we understand that it gives an opportunity as a real revealer, as a real test of someone's sincerity. When they're wealthy come, everybody falls all over them. They walk into a restaurant, everybody's brother come over. "How you doing, man? Good to see you. Come over there." You know, here they all come. The poor walk in, everybody goes the other direction. You know, that's a real revealer about our sincerity, isn't it? Sincerity of our professed friendship and love and compassion and mercy. Boy, the book of James certainly brings that to our attention. And James calls out the hypocrisy. He said, even in the house of God, said a wealthy man comes in. And listen, boy, here, would you like my seat? Poor comes in. "Hey, buddy, that's my seat. Fine, you know." You see, the poor are put before us as a great revealer of that which is true and sincere, that which is really the love of God, that which is, listen, insincere, and of the spirit of the world. The Bible says, "The righteous consider the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it." It reveals true righteousness in a man's heart. Listen, when he looks upon others, and as the book of James calls us here not to place that which is favorable and that which is above and beyond, that we are not to be a respecter of persons, but we are to show the value of their souls and the value of their life to God. That is an opportunity that God gives to His people and to His children, to His church, to show the world that God truly does love and that God values every soul. And listen, that Jesus did die for every sinner and that He has a desire that all might be saved and come to know Him. What an opportunity the church has given, because the poor man's aware of the cons of the world. He's aware of the insincerity. He's aware of the hatred. He's aware of the abuse. He becomes a target. And the poor is caught off guard when true love's expressed. Because, hey, don't they know I don't have anything to give? What in the world would they talk or care about me for? No wonder God often penetrates the heart of the poor with the gospel of Christ. I told you one of the Rockefellers made the statement that he'd give everything he had to find somebody, some woman who would love him just for who he was. And someone said the only way you can find that out is to give all your money away. Because you'll never know other than that. People can put on a good act, a good show. You and I experience that when dealing with the poor. It's hard not to get cynical in this world, isn't it? Because the majority of them are con people. And one thing we want to be careful of is we know that God would not have us to give to the poor in order to enable their continued life of disobedience and dishonesty and a life of sin and transgression. But as I think about this scripture, I realize God helped me not to get cynical to the point where I write them all off as all being cons. You know why? Because the Bible tells me that God will plead the cause of the poor. And therefore, I must be warned. I do not want to become guilty of becoming bitter or hardened toward those in that condition. I realize that many today, and most today, are in poverty because of their choices. And I'm going to tell you something. That's not everybody. There are people of character and integrity that work hard. And because of circumstance conditions, they don't have much in this world. And God has allied Himself with them. And God takes record and note of how they are treated. You know what God does? God promises to recompense good or evil in how the poor are treated. Look right here in our scriptures. Look in Proverbs chapter number 14. Look in verse 31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Notice, if you will, also in chapter 19, or 17, look in chapter 17 and in verse number 5. Whosoever mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. If you'll notice in chapter number 21, look here in verse number 13, the Bible said, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Those are strong words of retribution. Look in chapter 22 and verse number 9. The Bible says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Verse 16, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. And so the Bible here promises a retribution by the hand of God as He take note of how the poor are treated. In chapter 28, verse 8, he that by usury and unjust gain increases substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. The Bible records for us in verse 27, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Well, you see the power of God's words in relationship to the poor. God said, a man who gives to the poor, he will not lack. What did he say about he that turneth and hideth his eyes? He shall have many a curse. I suppose it would be very eye-opening if we might understand why some of the things have befallen our lives that we can't understand. There are many scriptures that might explain some of the things we endure. That's the reason we prayerfully study the Bible. Lord, if there's something wrong in my life, I want it right. If there's something, Lord, that has caused you to have to bring your hand of discipline on me, Lord, I sure want to know what it is, because I want God's blessing. Don't you? I want God's favor. As I share with you all the time, the trial and trouble of life is a necessity for the growth of our faith, the refining of our faith, the development of it. But there are a lot of things in our life that would not be necessary had we been obedient to the Lord. Those things I want to avoid. There are things in life I cannot avoid. It is the will of God, and it's for me, and it's for God's, using my life as His vessel. But anything that can be avoided that has brought judgment, a discipline, hardship in my life, I certainly want to avoid it. That's the reason we study the Bible. Lord, is there anything here that has caused you? Sometimes when difficulties come, my prayer has been, Lord, I'm sorry. That is my Heavenly Father, that I occasioned you to have to do this. You know why? Because I've been a daddy and am one now. And I remember the times that I had to discipline my children. And there are times I had to go privately in the bedroom or the bathroom, and I wept over it. And I sometimes said, Lord, I'm sorry that you had to do this. But I'm glad. For God keeps us in the path of glory. And I'm thankful that He does. Let me say quickly, poverty is no virtue and wealth is no sin. There is no virtue to be claimed simply because a man is poor. And certainly because a man is blessed with wealth doesn't mean that he has sinned. Wealth is no moral virtue, but poverty is no moral evil. God uses both. And God, He makes possible by His permissive will that both things can be experienced. In Proverbs 22 and verse number 2, the Bible reminds us here something very important. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord's the maker of all. Notice the first portion, that the rich and poor meet together. There are times that the rich and poor meet together. And one of those is that the ground is level at Calvary, if you know what I mean. A rich man, and a poor man come side by side to receive the Lord Jesus when they repent of their sins and call upon the Lord, and they're saved the same way. And so, they all meet together at Calvary. And secondly, they'll all meet together at the judgment. The rich man and the poor man will stand together. Remember what the Bible said, it's certain that we brought nothing in this world, certain that we'll carry nothing out. The Bible says we all stand naked open before Him with whom we have to do. And so Jesus taught us that a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things that he possesses. And so as I consider that poverty is a great teacher, let me give you a couple of things real quickly. Poverty is a great teacher. Why? Because it occasions our trust in God. You and I, through our necessities we come, depend upon God, we trust in Him. Our faith is limited to the awareness of our dependence upon Him. And one thing about the poor recognize that they need help. They need the blessing of God. Faith talks about the substance of things hoped for. That's born out of the need of our life. Our obstacles are God's opportunities. Amazing grace comes to us by faith in the Lord. Faith is driven by our need and necessity of God. And listen, poverty becomes a great teacher, for it compels us, it pushes us, listen, to turn to God for help. Poverty, listen, faces a constant need. It's a daily battle. You and I, listen, we are blessed beyond measure in this country, and God has richly blessed us. But there's been a time in this country, if you have the privilege of sitting down to talk to your grandfather or great-grandfather, how you realize, listen, that their daily prayer and listen, their daily effort was to put food on that table that particular day. Could I say that if they knew the Lord well and walked with Him, listen, there was more vitality in their prayer life than is in ours. You know why? Because poverty's a great teacher. And what they had to do just to ensure that. Trying their best to set a table. I used to hear my dad talk about, listen, the only time they got meat was on Sunday. And he said, usually it's a chicken. He said, we ate in a separate room. I didn't know you ate anything but a leg of a chicken. I didn't know about the rest of it. And we never saw the rest of it. Oh, listen. Poverty's a great teacher. It'll teach you dependence upon God. It encourages a man's prayer life and seeking every day just for the necessities of life. We find not only is it an occasion of trust in God, it occasions thankfulness. Why is it that God hasn't made all of His children materially rich? Why? Because not only does He want you to depend on Him and pray and seek His face and trust in Him, I listen, but He wants you to be thankful. Nothing, listen, grates our minds and hearts like fingers on a chalkboard than hearing someone that is spoiled rotten, especially a young person, who's been given everything and doesn't appreciate a thing. You know why they got that way? The abundance of things they were given without any cost, sacrifice, work, or labor. And spoiled to the core. Listen, it's often the abundance of things that begets that type of entitled state of mind. We find this, the more intense the suffering, the lesser the comfort that is needed to bring forth thanksgiving. My mama used to always get me every Christmas, and we would take things to poor families. We found a family that the man had died in the Vietnam War and left a widow and a couple little children. We'd bring a bunch of stuff over at Christmas time, take it to them. And one of the few times in my life, I saw true thankfulness. I mean, I saw it. You know why? Because of necessity. Because of poverty. Because of a lack of things. Such an appreciation, such a gratefulness. And listen, when you think about the more intense the suffering, the less is required to bring forth comfort or less required to bring forth thanksgiving. I think about that rich man who went to hell. You know what he asked for? His suffering was so intense, Brother Jimmy, he didn't ask for a glass of water. He didn't ask for a bottle of Coke. He asked for one drop. One drop. You see, it was in proportion to his suffering. What would he appreciate? He'd appreciate one drop. Poverty's a great teacher. There is no moral virtue in being poor, but listen, it does occasion a spirit of thanksgiving. Listen, it occasions a trust in God. It also occasions a testimony. You remember the story of Job and the contest when the devil came? Made accusation. He knew Job was a fine man. Matter of fact, God told him he's the finest man on the earth. You know what the devil said? I guess he is. He's got it made. You build a hedge around him, I can't touch him. Everything he's got's been blessed. You know what Job said? Only reason he does that is because you've given him everything. If you take away, he'll curse you to your face. God knew Job. It was an occasion, listen, to mock the old devil and to prove him wrong. I know Job. I know him. And that's not the reason he walks in integrity. And so, God said, I tell you what, we'll pull back the hedge. And listen, boy, when the hedge was pulled, the devil came in, and what devastation? In a hurry. What did Job say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. I'm going to tell you, you know what that was? That was a slap in the devil's face. Because the devil said, that's the only reason. You know what? As you and I come and God gives an opportunity to give testimony to the world, listen, we show through hardship, through trouble, and even through poverty, we show that we are not fair weather Christians. That we give a testimony that we love God, and the value of God in our life is seen by the perseverance of His people. That you and I go through trial and trouble and hardship, but we continue to walk with God, and it gives a testimony to the Lord, and gives a testimony of faith in God when you and I go through difficulties, and yet we continue to exercise that faith in God. The testimonies of the greatest power in the Scriptures were always linked to hardship. What a testimony God gave through the life of Joseph. I mean, from the time, from a teenager all the way through, we find Joseph, everything went wrong, went bad over and over again. Sold as a slave. Spent 2 years in prison for something he didn't do. And listen, that was his life until God finally brought him out, raised him up, and gave him that position. And in essence, Joseph became a savior of the world at that time by the wisdom of God given to him. But the pathway was rough. What a testimony he was given for God. Then he saw his brethren. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. What about Daniel and his friends snatched away from their home, brought to a foreign land, captive slaves? And yet, even in Babylon, they continued to walk in integrity and faith before God. And through their hardship, God began to testify of His glory, such that a whole nation now was impacted by these men and by their testimony because they were faithful to God. You see, the necessities of life, the hardships of life, and even poverty becomes a great teacher because it gives opportunity for us, listen, to express faith in God and show that, listen, that we don't look upon God just as a Santa Claus or a genie in the bottle. But listen, we know He's our holy God, and we know He is the Savior, and we trust Him because He's right, because He's true, because He's good, because He keeps His promises, because He will reward righteousness, and we will receive the end of our faith. And so we continue to walk and trust in Him through hardship, trouble, and trial, because we know Him, and we know His character. We know that He is holy. We know that He's right and He's true. And what an occasion God gives, listen, to glorify His name through the faith of His people. And so as I look to the Scripture, I'm reminded that as I look through Proverbs, God pleads the cause of the poor. That I must seek to be careful in the days of con men, that I not become so cynical that we turn our back upon all who are poor, and we lump them all in one category and just say they're all con men. And they're all in that situation because of their evil and wickedness. My friend, that is not the case. And I am to remember here that God has given me an opportunity by the leadership of the Spirit to consider the poor to remember the poor and to reach out to the poor. Because remember, as the Scripture certainly details for us, that's where most of God's people have come from. For the gospel has found great success among the poor. Let me remind you again what James says, and we'll close. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? If the Lord pleads their cause, God pays special attention to their treatment, then it behooves me as one of God's children to want to manifest the Spirit of Christ in being a friend to those who are poor and considering them, for God certainly does.